It wouldn't be, yeah, it'd be almost 40 years ago. Wow. You didn't know a guy 39 could. What are you laughing at? Almost 40 years ago, I was 16 years of age, and listen, I am going to be careful. The last time we had a guest, I think I preached for 20 minutes before I turned it over, and I promised myself I would not do that today. But almost 40 years ago, 16, we were living in the highlands of Guatemala, and old-time holiness. Daddy had a heart for God. My dad heard audibly the word Guatemala when he was in Bible school, Trevecca Nazarene College, had to find it on a map, and a journey began that took place, I mean, that began for years, and I won't get into any of that, but he had reached a place of desperation by the time he was 30-plus years of age, thought he was never going to get to go. Finally, some things happened. He made the jump against the denomination's will. They gave him the left foot of fellowship for not being obedient and staying home, and that's how my dad's missionary journey started in Guatemala. While we were there, another holiness church out of the Oklahoma area picked us up along with several others, and those were tough times, but very joyous times for our family, very close. But I mean, we lived, relative to what most of us understand here, we lived pretty remotely and would again move even further back up into the mountains in a more remote location. While we were there, away from the influences of other missionaries, of other people, you didn't see very many white people up where we were at, other missionaries, we got away from all the influences of our denomination and those that believe like we did. And my dad was in a real heart search because he loved the Lord. He had a call. He'd made it to the mission field. Our family was there, but there was no power. And it's amazing how God arranges things. Kim Zirkel Mejia, if I could say it that way, her daddy, Jim Zirkel, who is now with the Lord, and I'll let you share as much as you want to of that or not, however you want to. But Brother Jim Zirkel, I started to tell this story last week, and in speaking of sowing and reaping, and I'd shared that, and I don't know if I ever finished it, but Brother Jim was truly son of the Lord. I don't remember exactly how he and Dad met. If I sat down and thought about it, I could remember how the arrangement happened. But how many know God? There's a scripture that says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro, found in 2 Chronicles, I believe. It's in Chronicles. There's the eyes of the Lord run to and fro across the whole earth, seeking that one whose heart is perfect towards him. Perfect meaning bent towards him. Again and again he says, if you're seeking me, you'll find me. And to show himself strong on our behalf. How many can I identify with that scripture? Have been there. And my dad's heart, I mean, it was, his heart was in the right place. There was just some confusion about beliefs. And it's amazing how God arranges things and people. How many in here can think back of a seemingly happenstance meeting an individual whose words, and I'm speaking in reference to the Lord, the gospel, whatever it is, whose words and a single conversation change the whole course of your life? It's amazing how God can arrange divine appointments. How many believe in God for divine appointments? Amen. And so at any rate, long story short, this man began to come up and just love on our family. We were talking last night with Kim. Her daddy was a true giver. And every time he would come up, I remember him telling my dad years ago, and I watched it, that he had made a determination in his heart to give something away every day. He truly embraced seed time and harvest. And was a true giver. And I remember at a time when we were pretty closed off to the fullness of the Spirit, and a lot of the things that we came to know later, which completely changed our ministry, love broke through. And there's a lot of testimonies I could share. This is not my time this morning, but I just wanted to orient you a little bit why there's a connection here. He would come up and he would just love on my folks, love on our family. He'd leave books that began to open our eyes up. I mentioned this last week, The Believer's Authority. My dad began to read that book, another one called by Brother Hagin called Don't Blame God. My dad had struggled with years with his mother being killed in a car wreck and thinking that God was behind it. There were many other books and some books by E.W. Kenyon. We've got some of those in our library. Finding out what true righteousness was, faith righteousness. It transformed our lives and led us eventually into the baptism of the Holy Spirit and a whole new understanding of the will of God. We begin to see the power of God move, miracles take place, and works that are enduring to this day, almost 40 years later, they've been, their ministry, and I'll share with you about that, is, of course, covers all that area, and they've been up there many, many times and established works. Living Water Teaching is who we're talking about. And at any rate, our lives were completely changed by this man. He founded a ministry in Guatemala that has gone on to change nations, literally. But at that time, at 16 years of age, I loved Jim because I was typical 16-year-old. I remember Brother Jim, for whatever reason, took time out with Mr. Lee Shaw. He would invite me over to his place. I remember he's laid up with a broke arm from the motorcycle. I don't know if you remember any of that. Oh, collarbone, that's what it was. And he began to take time with me and visit with me and talk to me on my level and share the word. Began to speak to me of a place called Rhema Bible Training Center and preparation for ministry and different things. And just took time. Here this older missionary was. Took time with me on my level and impacted my life for good. I don't know how much you're aware of that, all of that. But I really love Jim and Miriam. This is Kim's dad and mother. And established a ministry there. The impact that it had on my folks and on their lives forever. We've talked about it over and over again. And the ministry that now is enduring there in Honduras. And I'll let them share with that. But we are so glad to have Brother Jim's daughter. You were, I don't know, at the time I was graduating from high school there, you were how old? 14 years of age. Today, the same school, I found out yesterday, the same school that I went to school at, IAS, an inter-American school, English-speaking school in Guatemala, she now is on, aside from everything else they do, she's actually, all these years removed, she is the president on the board of the school that we went to together. I was in high school, she's actually the president of the school there. How time flies and how things change. Back there with her husband, Danny, and making a difference in Guatemala in that ministry, making a difference in many other places. So we're so glad to have you here. I don't know how well I covered all those bases and helped tie a little bit to make it personal. I'm not the best at it. My wife's better than I am. But we're so honored to have you guys here and have looked forward to hearing you share. And I'm going to go ahead and hand this mic over to you. We want to present to you missionaries to Guatemala and other places. Danny Mejia, his wife Kim, and Daniela. Would you guys go ahead and step forward? Would you give them a hand clap as they come?
Thank you. Thank you very much. We're so happy to be here. You want to come up here now? You want to wait a second? Okay. Me first. Pastor Lee, thank you for the opportunity. We appreciate being here, and we don't take it for granted that you will just allow us to be here on a Sunday. You know, it means a great deal to us. The Ministry of Living Water Teaching, let me get my notes here real quick so I know what I'm, don't get lost. Hopefully my battery won't die. The Ministry of Living Water Teaching started in 1979, and like Pastor Lee was saying, the ministry has grown from my wife's family. It has developed into going into many other countries. We are right now in 10 or 11 countries, and we have Bible schools. We have a church in each one of these countries. We've had many missionaries that have come through the ministry, have been a part of the ministry, and that from there they have gone to other countries all over the world and ministries. And so the impact that we've had, it's been big, you know, to enlarge the kingdom of God. In Guatemala, we have a 22-acre campus, And we have in that 22 acre campus, we have a Bible school, we have housing for missionaries, we have housing for Bible school students, we have a prayer chapel, we have a school also that goes from K all the way to 12th grade. We have about 70 students that attend there on a daily basis. We have housing on campus for about 200 people, and along with that, you know, we have about 30 Bible school students that live there all year round to go to Bible school. We have a scholarship program for them. They work about 25 hours a week to be able to attend our Bible school, and then they graduate after 2 years. They get the word in them, and we send them back to their churches wherever they came from. And these people are helping us grow the kingdom of God in Guatemala. When they moved down there in 79, there was 3% of Christians in the country. I'm sure you can relate to that. Many of the dominant religion was Catholicism, and it probably still is, but many Catholics now, you know, they recognize Jesus as Lord and Savior, and although they still go to Catholic Church, and by the last census that they did in 2012, around 40% of the Christian the country professed to be Christians. And that's a big change, you know, going from 3% to 40% in this many years. And so we believe that we've had a lot to do with that. We only have one church in Guatemala because our call is not to start churches. It is to train people in the Word of God. And we've had over 40,000 graduates of a Bible school that they come, they study for 2 years, and they go back to the church. They go back and start another church. And they somewhat keep connected with us. We've got a big network of churches, you know, that we are connected with, but we only have one church and one Bible school. We got several extensions of a Bible school there as well that people connect with. We also have an orphanage on campus that we started almost 2 years ago, and we have 15 children that live there. All the kids come to us by court order. The Guatemalan adoption system has changed in the country very much in the last few years. And so it's hard to adopt kids, so they get sent to us by court order. Sometimes a relative will pop up out of nowhere and saying that they want the kid back. So it's been kind of a hard deal for us to have these kids there because we get to love on them, we get to invest in them. And then, you know, they've been there with us for a year, and somebody says, oh, I want our child back, I want my nephew back, and that. So, but we do the best we can to, while they're with us, to provide with them, you know, the education that we can give them everything that they need, and also pour into their spiritual lives. We have a different outreaches that we do as a ministry. We do medical outreaches. I'm sure that you've seen some of the reports that we've sent before. We do two medical outreaches a year, and we have the capacity to treat anywhere between 2,000 and 6,000 people medically in 3 days. And we've developed a system over the years to be able to do that. My father-in-law used to say, we'll try every real way of doing it until we got it right. And it works. Many other organizations are copying the model that we have to do medical outreaches. Everybody that comes through our clinics, they get seen by the doctor, they're treated by the doctor, we give them all the meds, we do eye exams, we give them the glasses, we pull their teeth, and also each one of them get presented the gospel one-on-one. And that's the main focus of what we do for these outreaches. If we didn't do that, if we didn't present the gospel, we'd just be humanitarian work like everybody else does. And so that has made a lot of impact in the local churches, because everything that we do, we work with the local churches. Since we don't have churches, we find the pastors, we connect with them, we tell them what we're going to do, we have them there working with us so that people can see them, and then their churches grow as a result of that. We do that shoebox operation at the end of the year. We have our own operation shoebox going on. We've done that for many years. My father-in-law used to walk around with change in his pocket. He would purposely make sure that he had change in his pocket because there were so many orphans in the country, you know, that do the shoe shines and they live on the street, and just many kids like that that just that wander around in the street, and especially during the Civil War that we had down there. There were many left like that, so he purposely had change in his pocket to have something to give to the kids. And when years later, we started doing gifts for the kids, we will do like 200 to 300 gifts, and that has grown into what is now the Marion Circle Children's Foundation. And we do every year between 6,000 and 12,000 shoeboxes every year, and that we go to villages where kids will never get a gift for Christmas. We put a program together for them, and we show them what the meaning of Christmas is. You know, it's about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we give it an opportunity also to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. As a result of all this, a short testimony of that is that we had a Bible school student that come to a Bible school. This kid came to a Bible school. He was about 20-some years old, and as he's going through his second year of Bible school, we're taking testimonies from them how they received Jesus as Lord and Savior. And he's giving us his testimony in this classroom. And he goes, well, I received Jesus. He goes, my parents were Christians. He goes, but they went to church, but they never lived a Christian life. And I received Jesus as Lord and Savior in a shoebox outreach. You guys gave me a shoebox. And that's how I received Jesus. And this guy is already going through a second year Bible school. And he got saved, you know, like 6 years before that. And right now, this guy, he pastors two churches, and he oversees about another 10 churches. You know, so that's the impact that we know that what we're doing is happening in the country. You know, so thank you guys for your support, your financial support, you know, that keeps us on the field and allows us to do this. But Daniela wants to talk to a little bit about what we do as far as the youth outreaches. So come up here, baby.
So I was born and raised in Guatemala, and I lived there till I was 8. And ever since I was little, I would always go on the campaigns, and they have pictures of me when I was a baby, then going on the campaign. So it's always been part of my life. And then when I was 8, we moved to the States for 6 years. And Burma kind of really opened my eyes to how the world is here in America, and how rare it is becoming for teenagers wanting to grow and to serve and wanting to go and preach the gospel. So it was hard for me, and it kind of pulled me away from God for a while because I had no one pushing me forward. And I want to encourage you guys to continue going forward, going to God, and don't let people judge you for your age. Don't think, I'm young, what can I do? You can do anything. You have God by your side. I want to encourage you to continue. Preach to your friends if God's telling you and putting you in your that person needs to know who I am. You need to tell them, because who knows what can happen tomorrow. And my favorite campaign is the youth campaigns. We have those in the summer. We will do a drama, and that drama is about 15 minutes. And it's basically we have a main character, and then we have a guy who plays the devil. And basically it's the devil showing the main character all these different things. The devil tells him, these things will make you happy, and he's pushing him away from God. He brings into him fame, he brings drugs, he brings alcohol. And in the end, he tells him, you'll never be happy, you should just kill yourself. But then God pushes the devil away and tells him, no, I will make you happy, I will fulfill you. Don't listen to what the devil says, I forgive you for everything you've done. And I encourage you to continue going out, and if you want to go on a campaign, go somewhere on a missions trip, do it. And then if God wants you to go, and you feel like you should go, God will make a way for you to go. He will provide the meaning, you don't have to worry about it. So I pray and encourage you to continue doing what God is putting in your heart. Even if you feel like nervous about it, for me that was really hard. I get really nervous doing things. And sometimes you have to also learn to listen to his voice. Sometimes you're like, oh, what if it's me thinking that, but then you have to remember, and you have to be able to tune in his voice and tune out your voice. So, yeah.
You know, through your giving over the years, we've been able to accomplish some of the things that we've been able to accomplish. We've seen over 250,000 people medically through our clinics. We have over 43,000 graduates from our Bible schools, and over 500,000 people that have been born again in any of the outreaches that we do. And so, you know, we could not do this. We couldn't do that without your help. And I would thank you for for partnering with us financially and in prayer. You know, it makes a difference for us to be able to be there. In the last couple of months, we had I don't know if you guys were aware of the volcano eruption we had in the country. That was pretty devastating for a certain area of the country. And over 1.5 million people got affected by the volcano eruptions. And around 3,000 people had to be evacuated and moved into shelters because the towns where they were living, they got destroyed, and some were like very close to being destroyed. One town that we visited, it got completely covered under volcanic matter. Many people died. Over the death toll right now, that the bodies that they found is about 322, and they're still looking for about another 600 people that haven't been able to locate yet, and they probably won't. But we were able to help many people. We did within a month, or within a week of the volcano eruption happening, we wanted to go there and help. And there was a team of volunteers. There was people that wanted to help. They were gathering medical supplies, and they were gathering food and all these things, but they did not know how to go over there and help. So I started putting a team together, and I had the doctors, I had the nurses, we had the system, but we didn't have the supplies. And it's funny how God puts things together. You know, we connected with this group of volunteers, you know, non-Christian volunteers, but they wanted to go and help and do something. So I told them, we can team up, and I'll provide some of our staff and some of our people. And we went and we helped out in the first outreach. Around, I think we did around 700 people we treated medically. And these people are wondering, you know, how it just, and this was in just 2 days we did that. You know, the only place to get to where we were going was in 4x4 vehicles, so we had a very limited amount of space to people to go. So we had to find 4x4 pickup trucks and SUVs to be able to get to those places. And when we got there, that gave us an opportunity to witness to all these people. And one of the testimonies that I remember from one of them, she was this lady, she's a foreigner, and she lives down there in Guatemala, and she's a book writer, and she wanted to go and help when she heard about the emergency. And she was riding with a couple of us in a pickup truck one day, and she goes, you know, the biggest, I've always been, she goes, I've never liked to work around religious groups. And I said, well, we're not religious. You know, we just love God. And she goes, you guys made me feel so comfortable. She goes, that I have a different perspective now of what being a Christian is. And that's what we want. You know, that not only were we able to help people, but other people realized that we are about helping people. We love God. But we're normal people, you know. We're just normal people that love God and love people. And so we went back 2 weeks later, and we helped out about another 1,100 people medically. And so just be able to do that, because we had the system. We do it every year. My wife and I have been putting teams together for almost 20 years. And so we've been hosting the groups. And so when we're talking about the medical outreaches, the youth campaigns, like Daniela mentioned, the shoebox operation, we have teams that come from the States. They help us do these outreaches. And so we take care of all the logistics from the time you pick you up to the airport. You know, we provide it. We have arranged everything already, the transportation, the meals, lodging, the security, where we're going to go minister. All the places are set up. You don't have to do anything. Just be there. We bring the sound equipment, the translators. Everything is set. So that's all the logistics, part of the logistics that we do. We have the 22-acre campus that my wife and I are the administrators over the campus. We have the orphanage. We have the school. We have the church. And overall, we have about 80 paid employees throughout the ministry. And so that keeps us busy as well, to keep that big size of a campus going. We have around 30 buildings on campus, along with bungalows and apartments, the school, the kitchen, administration buildings, Bible schools, dorms for students, and all that. And so that's what we do on a daily basis. But what I'd rather do is be out there doing the medical outreaches, let somebody else take care of all the administrative stuff. But we got to do that as well. So, we have a We have a short video that we would like to show, but also we have in the back outside, we have this little flyers. If you want to take one on your way out, please feel free to take one. You don't have to, but if you would like to keep us in prayer, please take one. And it's got our picture on there. It's got our email address. And if you would like to receive our updates that we send out every couple of months, then there's an email address there that you can email. We include you on our bi-monthly newsletter, so you can keep you can receive the updates. Believe me, we won't be sending you updates every week because we don't have time to write every week. So you get an update every couple of months with what we've been doing, and so we won't jam your inbox with nonsense stuff. But we have a video that we'd like to show, so please enjoy.
Young man, and he was smiling as he came, and he said, "Friend, you may not know me now," and then he said, "But wait, you used to teach my Sunday school, and I was only 8, and every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. One day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I have a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave." Then another man stood before you and said, "Remember the time a missionary came to your church and his pictures made you cry."
Good morning. How is everyone? Blessed? Amen. 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 We're blessed to be here. We really appreciate it, getting to meet you. You know, we've known Lee and Jackie for a very long time, but it's our privilege to be able to meet each one of you and just to share a little bit about Guatemala and about Living Water Teaching, some things we've experienced. I won't take all your time today, but we appreciate you, and we appreciate your prayers, the finances that you give. We don't take it for granted. We know that there's so many places you can be sowing your seeds, but we're thankful that you, one of the places you sow your seeds is with us. And we've mentioned about the groups, and we do want to invite you, if you would ever want to come in a group, talk to your pastor and we can arrange it. We would love for you to come. If you've never been on a missions trip, it will change your heart. It will change your outlook on things. We are so blessed in America. You know, we have everything we need if we desire to have it. You know, there's so many opportunities that we're given. But when you go down there, there's so many things that you see that you never realized how the other part of the world lives. So just want to invite you. If you'd like to come, please contact us and we'll let you know. As Danny mentioned, the ministry started in 1979. My parents went to Rhema Bible Training Center in 77. My mom's from Kentucky. My dad's from Ohio. So I grew up in the north. And growing up, I've always had issues with trusting people. And I'm sure you've had those opportunities too. But I've also had a lot of issues with fear. And I feared because I didn't trust. I feared situations because I didn't know how to trust God at a young age. I remember going to church camp and swimming in a mud hole. And a girl held me under. And ever since then, it's hard for me to swim, because I'm afraid to go underwater for a very long period of time. You know, things in your past will affect your future. But you have to take control of those things. You have to know who you are. You have to know the authority of the believer. And know, you know what, I don't have to be afraid of going underwater. That's ridiculous. I don't need to be afraid. But I had to learn who I was in Christ. It says in Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord and with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You know, you can't trust someone unless you get to know them. How do you get to know the Lord? You have to know what his word says. He wrote that Bible for us. He gave it to us. But it does no good if it just sits on your nightstand. You know, we have to pick up that Bible. We have to learn. We have to study. It says study to show thyself approved. We have to study the Word of God. And when you know the Word of God and things come at you, you've got a scripture you can say. You've got things that you can use to combat the different lies of Satan. And he is a liar. And he will lie to you. And you have to know the difference between, is it myself? Is it Satan? Is it God? Just like my daughter was saying. You have to know who you are in Christ. You have to know what the lies are. Later on, we moved out to Oklahoma. And when my dad told us we're moving to Oklahoma, I had never been there. I thought it was like Little House on the Prairie. So I didn't want to live out there. All our family lived in Ohio and Kentucky, and we were moving down to Oklahoma for him to go to Bible school. I was like, okay, fine. You know, I was a teenager, but at that time, I think I was 11. Believe me, as you get older, you forget what year it was that you did different things. I will not say how old I am. But so we moved to Oklahoma, and my parents went to Bible school. And the first few weeks that we were living there, I met a girl my age, and we were hanging out together. And then later, our parents met. And then later on, them talking, just getting to know each other, they found out they had family that lived in Guatemala. And they talked about Guatemala on and on and on. And my dad just had like a spark in himself. It's like, I want to see what this Guatemala is all about. So in 1978, he made his first trip to Guatemala. And he went to minister to some people out at the lake, like Atitlan. It was a Baptist church. And the people were so hungry for the Word of God. All they had been taught for years and years and years is rules, regulations, religious stuff. And when they saw that God is not put in a box, They saw the word of faith. They were so hungry. And while he was there, he ministered in different places. And everywhere that he ministered, the people were so hungry. So later he brought down another trip, mostly of my relatives, my uncle and aunts and uncles. They went on a trip to Guatemala. And they went more places. And at that point in time, he didn't know he was supposed to be in Guatemala. He just saw there was a need, and he could fulfill it. That he had something that they needed and that they wanted. You know, it's not always like that. People aren't always seeking the word. They're not always seeking to know more about God. But, you know, it is great when people do, and you've got it, and you can just share with them openly about it. So we made plans to move to Guatemala. And when my parents told me we were moving to Guatemala, I said, I'm not going. I am staying with my Uncle Jerry. I was 13 at the time, and I said, I'm not going. Go ahead, you go. But by the time we raised finances and were ready to go, I got in the car and I went. Because I knew if my dad said, God said we need to do this, or he felt in his heart, I knew my dad. You know, he would not be taking three children to a foreign country if he didn't know what he was doing. On the way there, our vehicle broke down. We had a Cherokee Chief Jeep. And it broke down on the way, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what is he getting us into? We really did not speak any Spanish. My parents knew a few words. And we're stuck out in the middle of nowhere. And my dad said, okay, let's pray. I'm like, oh gosh, please, Lord, help us. So we just sat there and said a simple prayer. Lord, direct us to a mechanic. Show us where we need to go. Lord, we need help. We don't speak Spanish. All of a sudden, there were some young teenagers walking by. My dad said they saw the blonde American teenager, and that's why they stopped. So they asked in their broken English what we needed, and we explained we needed a mechanic. So they took us to their house, fed us lunch, called a mechanic, and I'm like, wow, okay, man, God does do miracles, and he does them fast. I learned quickly that if we pray and if you trust in God, he'll be there. He will fulfill his word. But we have to pray. You can't just expect miracles or money to fall from heaven. We have to do our part. You know, if you need a job, you have to be searching for a job. You need to do something towards your future. And God will step in, but we have to do our part. And our part that day was praying and trusting. And God always comes through. In Exodus 4:12, it says, now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. As a missionary, you would think speaking in front of people becomes easy. It doesn't. I still struggle when I have to get up in front of people. I still get nervous. You know, but the Bible says that he will tell us what to say. He will help us. You know, before I'm going to teach a class in the Bible school, share in the children's morning Bible study chapel, I prepare. You know, I have notes here. I do what I can do. I do my part. And then when I get up here, I just open my mouth and trust, okay, Lord, please be with me. And he always is. And he'll speak with you. And he'll direct you. You might have all these notes, and he might direct you in a totally different way. But I'm prepared. And that's like what the Bible said, study to show yourself approved. We have to do our part, and then he'll do his part. In Luke 12:12, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that moment what to say. You know, the Holy Spirit is so important. He's with us always. He's with us. He checks our spirit when we're going somewhere we shouldn't go. He leads us when we don't know where to go. You know, but having the Holy Spirit is that power that Lee was talking about. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, it's an extra gift. It's an extra blessing that goes along with your salvation. And that may be something you're realizing, I'm missing something. I know there's more. Speak to Pastor Lee about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a wonderful gift from God to help you, to give you that power, to be that person that's right next to you, leading you, being with you. In Psalms 81:10, it says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. You know, God has called each one of us. We each have a purpose. And being a missionary is no bigger honor than any other gift. We all have a gift from God. We all have talents. We just have to put them to use of where he told us to go and tells us what to do. But we need to study. It's so important to study the word, like I've mentioned. you're going to have situations. You're going to have problems. People are going to come against you. You're going to have sickness. Being a Christian doesn't mean life is perfect. Has anyone had a perfect life? Never sick, never had a problem, always have more than enough finances every day? No. It doesn't happen that way. Unfortunately, God, why not? But it would be great if life was perfect once you became a Christian. But you have to take those circumstances, take those issues, and walk through them. But you're not alone. God's with you. The Holy Spirit is with you. And He will walk you through those problems, walk you through those situations. Always in school, I hated to raise my hand. If the teacher would ask a question, I would just look down. I didn't want to be the one to answer because I could be wrong. I was very shy. And I'm still working on that. You know, but God. That's what I always say, but God. You know, it's not about us. It's about Him. You know, my desire is to be a blessing to people, is to serve Him in any way that I can. And if my life can be a blessing to others, things that I've experienced, things that I've gone through, then I want that. And He can use you where you're at. And He wants to. You have a purpose. Maybe you don't know what that is yet. Or maybe, you know, there are times and seasons in your life. He might have you in a certain place for 5 years and then move you for 20 years and then move you again for another 10. Or you might be in the same place your whole life. But every single one of us are different. We all look different. We all speak different. Every single one of us have a different calling on our lives. But we have to find what that is and make steps in preparation to fulfill that calling on your life. You know, at times when I need to go do something and I'm nervous about how do I do this? I've never done this before. It's a new experience. I start looking online. How do you do this? How do you speak this about this? How do you make this thing? You know, we have all these tools available to us. We have to use them. And the Bible is our tool. When we're faced with a situation, let's say we lose our job, you know, the Bible has the answers on what we need to do and how we need to stand on faith to find another job, how He will bring us through, even though we might not have a job. He will provide. He will send people your way to give you money, to bring you food, because He is there. He is always there with us. We just have to trust Him. And that's something that I believe we all have to learn, to trust Him. And the more that I'm alive and the more I experience things, it's easier. Each day it's easier to trust Him quicker. Sometimes a situation will come and you'll start worrying. And I'll be like, why am I worrying? I can't do anything about it. It's just making me not feel good. It's making me lose sleep. I just have to trust God. Okay, yeah. Some people say, well, that's ridiculous. You know what? Who cares? Because God is ever faithful. If we trust Him and trust Him quicker and quicker each time, you're going to get more sleep. You're going to have less worries. It is definitely worth it. There was a time I wasn't there, and I believe your family was there with my family. They were ministering up in a village, and the guerrillas took over. Now, when we were moving to Guatemala and my dad mentioned there was guerrillas, I thought they were monkeys. I had no idea. I had no idea what guerrillas were before we moved to Guatemala. But when I wasn't with them when they went to this place and they came back and said that the guerrillas had taken over. By then I knew what guerrillas were. You know, they had every opportunity to be in fear at that moment. They were in the town center, and the guerrillas, you know, are known for killing people. And they were, I'm sure, at first a little nervous. But they started to pray. They grabbed hands and started to pray. And I might not even have the whole story correct. But the townspeople surrounded them. And as they began to pray, the crowd just opened and they walked through and left that town. You know, prayer works. Your faith, your hope, your trust in God, it works. You know, they could have just been there crying and nervous and like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? They just had to pray and say, Lord, help us out of this situation. We don't know how we're going to get out of here, but Lord, protect us. Show us what to do. And God took care of them. And He always will take care of you, but you have to pray. You have to do your part. You know, Satan is a liar. It says in the Word, the thief cometh but to kill, steal, and destroy. He has many titles, the ruler of the world, the father of lies, the God of the world, ruler of the power of the air. But all of these, as you see, is the Satan. He's evil. But God is the complete opposite. And we don't have to be afraid of him. It says in Luke 10:17, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. The name of Jesus is powerful. You know, you need to learn that name, the name of Jesus. When you don't know what to do, if you're afraid, something's happening and you don't know how to pray, to say, Lord, Jesus, 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 help me. And he'll be there with you because the name of Jesus is powerful. You know, there's going to be situations where we are going to be afraid. And Satan is going to lie to us. He's going to say, you're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You have no experience. And in the natural, that could be true. But with God, we are smart enough. With God, we are everything. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So those lies, we just have to take authority over those lies. Let's see. So through the years living in Guatemala, you know, we've experienced so many different things. We've had missionaries come and go. I can't even tell you how many hundreds of missionaries have come and go. And, you know, it was a time and a season for them. And our family just stayed firm. There was times when money would come flowing in, and there was times when it was dried up. When we moved there, we were only promised approximately $350 a month. And my dad said, okay, let's go. God's going to take care of us. And he always has. You know, even when the money was dried up, maybe for a few days, a few weeks, a few months, God always provided. He was always there. We didn't leave. We didn't give up. We didn't quit. We just had to keep trusting in him. As Danny mentioned, the Lord in our teaching has spread throughout many countries. We're in all of Central America and parts of South America. And at one time, we even had works in Africa and Germany. We want the word of God to be spread to every nation. We go to communities and areas where others don't want to go, can't go, have no desire to go. We just had a youth group there, and the place where we took them of where they were going to sleep, one of the girls that was just there, we just met her again here, and she said, when you took me there, I really thought, okay, this is a joke. We are really not sleeping here, right? We are really not going to shower there. She was in shock because it's not, you know, we're going where other people won't go, and it's not going to be comfy beds, and it's not going to be perfectly clean. And she was a little nervous, and the more she stayed there, she's like, okay, Lord, I can do this, I can do this, you know. And then she said, now she's realized, wow, I did it, I can do this. And she was the leader. She was not the teen, she was the leader. You know, you have to just go, and you have to do. And you know what, it's not always easy. I know you know that. It's not always easy. So as the ministry grew, I got married. I had three children. I actually have four now with Daniela. And one of the campaigns in 1998, they were returning from a medical campaign. We had a DC-3 at that time. And they were returning the last flight from the medical campaign. It was really far away. So they had to bring in different flights. Our staff traveled by road. How many hours was that, honey? Like 22 hours by road. So the group, we were flying them back from the campaign site to our campus. This is right after Hurricane Mitch. And on the last flight, when they were returning to the campus, there was 18 people on board, and our ministry plane crashed. On that plane were, eleven people died, right? And seven survived. And of that 11, there were six group members, two of our pilots, my brother, my father, and my husband. You know, I was living in Texas when this happened, and I started getting all these phone calls, and I didn't know what was true. I couldn't reach anyone in Guatemala because the hurricane had just come through. A lot of the lines were down. So I started making calls, and you know, the first thing, I had fear. I was like, what? What do you mean the plane crashed and all these people died? There's no way. But I kept hearing this in my head, you know, and having fear. But then God told me, he said, I will take care of you. I will take care of you. So I just had to have peace and trust in him that he would take care of me. And you know, believe me, it was not easy. When you lose a loved one, it's not easy. You might have lost your spouse or your child or your parents. And I lost three people that day, plus two missionaries, and we're all close as missionaries. I had to trust God, you know, because Satan wanted to rip our ministry apart. He wanted us to quit. He wanted my mom to quit. But she got up every morning and said, I'm going to do this. You know, it wasn't easy when she lost her husband, her son, and her son-in-law, the men of our ministry, and she had to carry on this ministry on her own. She had to every day get out of bed in faith and in trust. And so I moved back to Guatemala to help my mom with my three children. But you know what? God took care of me just like he said, and the ministry every step of the way. I had so many people that would just come and give me things. It was right before Christmas. This was November. People were coming and paying my electric bill. They were bringing gifts for my children. They just there every step of the way. God took care of me. And when I moved back to Guatemala, I was a little nervous. There's so many memories. There were so many things that I just like, I don't know if I can do this, Lord. But he told me, this is home. And as the plane was landing, I knew it. This is home. This is where I'm supposed to be. And then later, he brought Danny into my life. An awesome, wonderful man. You know, it says, when the thief cometh to kill, steal, and destroy. And it says, when he does steal and does kill, steal, and destroy, you know, we can use the scripture that he has to repay us sevenfold. 7 times 70. And my husband is awesome. He is more than I could ever ask for. He is a graduate of our Bible school. So I knew it had to be God to bring me back to Guatemala. Someone that would love my three children and want to raise them as their own. God is faithful. God will take care of you no matter what you go through. That was the worst time of my life, but I made it, you know, and I can use that to tell others. God did not make that happen. You need to know that God did not crash that plane, but he made good things come out of it. And I believe every single person that lost a spouse on that plane is remarried, and many of us now have new children. You know, God restores. God is just, he is amazing. You know, you have to know that for yourself, though. You have to know he loves you. He wants the best for you. He wants you to succeed. He is there. All we have to do is trust him. Put him first in everything. And learn the word of God. You know, it's still not easy being a Christian. It's still not easy being a missionary. We have to believe every day when we go out in these areas for protection. We have to believe every day he's going to provide. I don't have a job that I know every day or every week on Friday I'm getting this amount of money. No, I have to walk by faith and trust that people are hearing from God and they're going to support us. We send out letters. We send out reports. We visit churches. We do our part, and he does his. And God will do the same for you. I just want to encourage you, study the word so that you can combat Satan. Know your authority in him. Know he loves you and knows he wants the best for you, and he will use you, and you have a calling on your life. And God bless you.
Thank you, Kim. Praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Danny, would you come up here? Wait, Kim, stay here a minute. Did you enjoy that? I think the Lord spoke to a lot of people on many different levels. Not necessarily related to why we're here today, in meeting a new missionary and finding out who these people are that we've been supporting. Come on up, Daniela. Would you do that? Amen. Did you enjoy that? Aren't you glad that we're involved in something like this? And I want to encourage you to be in prayer about how we can greater be involved. How many would be interested in an actual trip to Guatemala? I'm being very serious. We attempted this with Honduras. We attempted it with several other things. They just did not work out. But this is a trip that I believe would truly be a blessing. Let me see those hands one more time. Look at that. Isn't that pretty? Take a snap. Yeah. So you'll hear, huh? Let's believe God and make this happen together. Wouldn't it be great to take a group from our church and experience something like that? So, Kim, thank you so much. And Danny, for your ministry. Is there anything that you wanted to add? Amen. You can see the heart and what God is doing here. Would you extend your hands this way this morning? There are two scriptures. You know, as Kim was talking, I know the fear thing, many people can identify with that. You can put your hands down just for a moment because I'm going to read a couple of scriptures. These are a couple of my favorites. I've got many. But I love the book of Psalms. And she touched on a couple of points. You know, this morning, Psalms 3:3, one of my favorites. You've heard me talk about my little collie dog that was abused when she was a puppy. And forever, that dog held her head down and would not hardly look at you. And, I mean, just completely beat down. It took her a long time before she gained confidence and trust at the hand of a man. And it was because of, and I know that's kind of a strange example, but through love and repeated affection and taking care of her, I remember the first time when little Cheyenne could walk up to me with her head up and look at me with trust. And it always reminded me, I remember the Lord speaking to me, he said, this is what it's like when I'm talking about, Psalms 3:3 says, for thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You are the glory and the lifter. It speaks of trust. Isn't that beautiful? You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Religion does so much to beat us down. We heard references all through here to beat us down. And yet when we begin to find out the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and this great grace, how the Word of God, a pure understanding of grace and what the gospel is about, lifts our head where we are able to look to Father with great confidence. Right after that, these are easy to find, Psalms 5:12, and we speak this over you guys today. Amen. We're so appreciative. Psalms 5:12, and for you, you heard some things this morning. You may be struggling. I love this verse. It says, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. How many are glad today that righteousness is no longer about what you do? Don't shout me down. I'm very glad that righteousness is no longer. Anybody in here perfect other than me? Aren't you glad that righteousness is no longer based on what you do, but in whom you have believed? The one who got it right, my faith in him has made me righteous before God. I don't understand that, but I'll take it every day. I'm buying. How many in here are buying? What about the rest of you? You need to have an altar call. How many in here are buying? Isn't that great? Look at what he says. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. Aren't you glad we are blessed because of Jesus? And then he says, with favor wilt thou compass him with a shield. Now would you stand to your feet? Would you do a turn like this? Come on. We don't have to be religious thing in church. Take a circle like this, would you? Go ahead. Take a circle. Your Bible says, some of you don't like to obey. It's just like you were when you were little. It's not hard to do this. Alright? The Bible says, and would you say it with me, that we are surrounded. Say, I'm surrounded with a shield. Now, what Kim said is so true. If you haven't taken the time to seek out these scriptures, to let that seed be sown in your heart, you won't be able to take advantage of it. But when I begin to find out about his great grace for me and his great love for me, and begin to ferret out these little pockets and promises, I begin to believe on a completely different level and find out how faithful he is. There's a lot of things I don't understand about why things have happened. How many have some questions? But I'm questioning less and less who he is. Taking greater and greater confidence in who he is. He truly is the glory and the lifter of my head. And this morning, I'm glad for the fact that as you made a turn, you need to begin to see and believe that he compassed encompasses you round about. He circles you with a shield of favor. This speaks of his provision. This speaks of supernatural divine appointments. Teenagers on a roadside in the middle of Mexico. I mean, how many times have I seen that, witnessed that as a kid? My dad, so many different things have taken place, how God provides. He encompasses, he circles us. It's protection. And this morning, I'm so glad for people like this. I mean, know that not all of us are called to physically go. All of us have a place right where we're at, but every one of us are called to be a part of that which is closest to the heart of God, and that is that not one should perish. Peter put it this way, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. James says, what good is it if we say, bless you, be warm, be filled, and we don't do anything about it? That in the sharing of the gospel, we're making sure that the world is loved. We truly have seen a ministry here that has done it all. How many have come to the Lord since 79? 500,000? 43,000 graduates from the Bible school? Can you imagine the impact? Is it any wonder that they've gone from 3%? And these figures are exact figures that we used years ago when I was raising money for my parents on the road. From 3% to 40% evangelical. We're not talking about I believe in God. We're talking about evangelical Christians. The Spirit-filled movement has swept Guatemala and had an impact and continues to do so. And we are so honored to have you here and for us to get to be a part. For those that can't go, we could be a part on sending those that can. And what a blessing this is today. Psalms 5:12 says that he encompasses us round about with a shield of favor. How many would like to join faith together, not only for you individually, but this morning specifically for the Mejia family, for that, just agree together and declare over them a shield of favor. Right now, as they're traveling, they flew into Phoenix, spent some time in Yuma with family there. Here with us, you'll be back, you'll be next to where? In Sierra Vista, sharing at a church there, and then on back east, eventually to Florida, and then home raising money, sharing their vision, doing what they're doing. How many can agree with us together that God will provide because he has shielded us with a shield of favor? That God will protect like never before. Amen. That we can call a stop to disasters. Are you here? That we can learn about this great thing and know that he truly is the glory and the lift of our hands. This morning, would you extend your hands this way, an expression of faith as we stand together for you all. And I'd like for Chad, would you come up here and help me out? Sally Bates, you and Pat, would you come up here and just as a loving touch to his ear? I'm trying to think of Bruce and Becca, would you please come up here? Be a part of this and just lay hands on them this morning. What a precious couple. Amen. Amen. How many are glad that we're involved in this and would like to be involved in a greater way? I know we would. The real deal, Vic says. Absolutely. Just like Zelco 2 weeks ago. How many enjoyed Zelco? Isn't it great that our little place right here in Chino Valley has a part in affecting the world for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Come on. Would you? This morning, pray with me. Would you? All over the room. She said very little, and there's not much more that needs to be said. I'll never forget the shock of walking into a funeral where dad, brother, and husband. I don't know if you caught that. That'd be the end for most. We honor you today, Kim. What a beautiful thing to pick up and move forward, to speak so simply and beautifully of your trust. None of us, few of us have ever gone through anything like that before, nor will we. Some in here have, and you're here this morning, God speaking directly to you. There is no end, but in him there is a whole new beginning. It's so beautiful to hear her say without any bitterness, I know God wasn't behind that. I know God didn't do that. But I also know that He provides. He turns things around. He'll absolutely make the best come out of it. I'll tell you what, I want to encourage you in Jesus today. We have a reason to pick ourselves up and move forward and move on. Great things to accomplish. And in the light of eternity, it'll be like a flash anyway. Every wrong will be made right, but we truly honor you today, Kim, and your precious husband, who just, what a man of God, what a spirit and heart of humility. We just are so blessed. So this morning, as you extend your hands forward, I know I keep holding the arm, shoulders are probably about to break off, but just as an expression, we're not being weird, this is just an expression, an extension of our faith. This morning, Father, we're so thankful for Nanny. Precious Daniela, and for Kim, and their heart for you in that nation, affecting other nations. Father, today, would you, this morning, plant seed with me. We've been talking about planting seed. Let's open up our mouths and begin to declare over them. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are the glory and the lifter of my head. Trust like never before. Because of who you are. I thank you today that you are a shield. Every time you showed up in the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord, the first thing out of your mouth was, fear not. What a beautiful thing. I'm thankful today for perfect love, John says, that cast out all fear. Father, I'm thankful today for a shield. Would you agree with me today? Father, we thank you today in Jesus' name, in this trip, and in the years to come, great things ahead. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for a shield that encompasses us with your favor and your grace, Father. I thank you for supernatural provision. I thank you for supernatural strength in body and in mind. I thank you for a refreshed and a renewed, new levels, Father God, in vision and in outreach, Father God. Today, we thank you for this couple and their family, Kim's other children, Father God, and your work in all of that family, Father God. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. And if you can agree with that, say amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for being here. We believe God's going to do some great things. I figured I almost talked to you.
As we were praying for you, I just sense that God has truly put a crown of glory on you. And wherever you go, trust and know that whether you feel it or whether you know it or not, that crown of glory is seen by other people, honey. God has such a huge call on your life. He has blessed you beyond anything you can imagine. The presence of God just rests around you. And that crown of glory is not going anywhere. It will follow you everywhere. There is a divine empowerment on your life. You know that. I'm just speaking confirmation. But just know that other people see it too, honey. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, guys. Amen. We'll look forward to the next time.